Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. I make pottery for a hobby, and so here's a piece of pottery I made, and what I did was I used white clay, and then you spray paint black clay on top of it, and then you take your little carving tool, and you carve into the black clay to make all of these decorations. So the thorn, I read a lady said this in one of my pottery magazines. She said this: as I was pruning my English shrub rose last fall, I noticed the thorns were perfectly designed for puncturing and slicing and carving into pottery. Today, we're going to talk about Paul's thorn and ours. And we might not like our thorns, but they're there for a reason. God has a purpose in whatever thorn you're going through. So let's see how Paul handled his thorn. Would you take out your Bible, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's pray first. Father, there are people going through marital thorns or physical thorns or mental thorns or financial thorns. God, talk to us now of how we should handle our thorns in life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the ancient Christian church at Corinth gets a letter from Paul where Paul says this. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Paul writes, "Boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord." Let me explain what's going on here. There were false teachers in Corinth who were saying, Paul's not really an apostle. He's a bogus apostle. Don't listen to him. Listen to us. So Paul has to defend his apostleship. And he feels funny about this. He doesn't like it, but he's going to defend himself now and talk about his visions. And look at verse 2. Paul writes, "I know a man in Christ," and he's talking about himself. Again, he feels funny, so he's doing it third person. "I know a man in Christ myself who 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. Such a man was caught up to the third heaven." Now, what's the third heaven? It doesn't explain it, but probably the first heaven is where the birds are. The second heaven is where the stars are, and way out there, the third heaven, is where God is. Paul is saying, I was caught up to be right before God. And verse 3, "And I know how such a man, myself, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, he was caught up into paradise, and he heard inexpressible words, which a man is not permitted to speak." Here's the first lesson I want you to get today. Paradise is inexpressible. Take this for what you think it's worth, but two or three times in my life, I'll be sleeping, and it's like I go to the pearly gates of heaven, and this most gorgeous music pours out. And I wake up, and maybe for a split second, I can still hear it, and I want to go back. Paradise is inexpressible. There was a tourist, I believe, in southern England, and out of his window he could see St. Michael's Mount, a beautiful mountain. And every morning he loved seeing that. But one of the locals said, "You think this is pretty? You should walk around the mountain and see the other side. That's where the wildflowers bloom." And kind of, you know, we get attached to this side, but if we could see the other side, it's inexpressible. C.S. Lewis said this: "A continual looking forward to the eternal world is not a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for this present world were just those who thought most of the next. I'm going to read a poem here you've maybe heard. I love this poem. And if you've lost a loved one, just listen to how inexpressible paradise is. It's called "I'm Spending Christmas with Jesus Christ This Year." I see the countless Christmas trees around the world below, with tiny lights like heaven's stars reflecting on the snow. The sight is so spectacular, please wipe away that tear, for I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I hear so many Christmas songs that people hold so dear, but sounds of music can't compare with the Christmas choir up here. For I have no words to tell you the joy their voices bring, for it is beyond description to hear an angel sing. I can't tell you of the splendor or the peace here in this place. Can you just imagine Christmas with our Savior face to face? Please let your hearts be joyful and let your spirits sing, for I'm spending Christmas in heaven and I'm walking with the King. Paradise is inexpressible. And I think the reason God gave Paul a little glimpse of paradise was to get him through the horrible stuff that was coming. Paul had a horrible life, beat up for the gospel from town to town. Let's look at verse 5. 2 Corinthians 12:5. On behalf of such a man will I boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except in regard to my weaknesses. For I do not wish to boast. If I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this so that no one may credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. All right, now look at that verse and answer this question. Why was Paul given a thorn? And the answer is, the thorn was given to keep Paul humble. He had these beautiful visions of heaven, but to keep him humble, God gave him a thorn. Are very mature Christians guilty of sins like pride? Yeah. So Paul the Apostle, a very mature Christian, was given a thorn to keep him humble. There's a story of an Oriental king. One day a little boy comes to the palace. Can I talk to the king? And the king was a loving, humble man. They brought the little boy into the throne room. And the king says, yes, little boy. Well, sir, my mother and father say you're the best king we've ever had. You're loving, you're kind, you're humble. Why are you different from our prior kings? And next to the throne was a chest. And the king opened the chest and he took out an old yellowed robe. And he said, little boy, I used to be a slave. I used to wear this robe in the fields. But one day they came and they made me king. And if I'm ever tempted to think I'm better than somebody else, I take out my robe and I remember who I am. Why does God give us thorns? I think they are God's way of reminding us without Christ, we're weak, we're sinful, just like everybody else. That's why Paul was given a thorn, to keep him humble in spite of all the revelations. Let's look and ask this question. Where did Paul's thorn come from? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. There was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Where did the thorn come from? The answer is Satan. The thorn came from Satan. And you remember in Luke chapter 13, this woman was bent over, and Jesus said, Satan has bound her for 18 years, and then Jesus healed her. And it says in Acts chapter 10, Jesus went around healing people who were oppressed by the devil. So yes, the devil can have a hand in our misery. However, look at the next verse, verse 8. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Notice it says the Lord. So here's the big point. God controls Satan and our thorns. Paul knew ultimately, okay, this might be from Satan, but God's allowing it. Some TV preachers will tell you that all disease, all sickness, all financial problems are from the devil. Well, no. God says to Moses in Exodus 4, Moses, who makes man's mouth? Who makes him deaf, dumb, seeing, or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? So follow this. Paul's thorn is kind of like the book of Job in the Old Testament. You remember, Satan wants to hit Job, but he has to get permission from God first. In chapter 1, God says, it's like Satan's on a leash, and God holds the leash. And God says, okay, Satan, you can touch his family, and you can touch his farm, but then God jerks the leash, but you cannot touch his body. So that happens. Chapter 2, Satan comes back. Okay, this time, Satan, you can touch his body, but jerks the leash. You can't take his life. So where do our thorns come from? Satan can be. God can be. I want you to listen to how totally in control God is of the universe. He's in control of Satan. He's in control of your thorns. Listen to this from Deuteronomy 32. See now that I, even I am he, there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound, says the Lord, and I heal. There is none that can deliver out of my hand, says the Lord. In other words, God controls everything, including my sickness and my thorns. Chuck Swindoll said this, God is too kind to do anything cruel, too wise to make a mistake, too deep to explain himself. I love the old hymn. Though he giveth or he taketh, God his children ne'er forsaketh. His the loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy. So where did Paul's thorn come from? The devil. But God holds the leash on the devil. Ultimately, God's in control. All right, let's spend the rest of the sermon and ask the question, how do I deal with my thorn? What did Paul do with his thorn? Look at 2 Corinthians 12 when we're looking at verse 8. Concerning this, the thorn, I entreated the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. The first thing you do about your thorn, he prayed 3 times. The first thing you do about your thorn is you make sure you're praying about it. There was an ocean liner in the ocean, and these big storm clouds are coming toward the boat, and a woman runs up to the captain. Captain, do you see those black clouds? Do you think we'll make it? Well, madam, we can only pray. It's come to that? Like the last thing you do is pray. The first thing Paul did about his thorn is he prayed about it 3 times. Second thing Paul did about his thorn, verse 9. And God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. The second thing Paul did with his thorn, he prayed, he submitted to God's answer. God said, I'm not going to take it away. So I don't think Paul kept praying about it. He knew, okay, I'm supposed to live with this. He accepted God's answer. I knew a godly old Lutheran pastor who had bone cancer that was going to take his life, and he said, don't pray for my healing. This is for the glory of God. I mean, do you know how we get pearls? A speck of sand lands in an oyster. And it's an irritant to the oyster's flesh. So the oyster starts depositing this secretion around it until after a long time, it turns into a beautiful pearl. Well, that's our thorns. We don't like our thorns, but God is using them for his glory and for our good. Sometimes you can see it, sometimes you can't. So if you have a thorn, number one, make sure you pray about it. Number two, whatever God tells you, you submit to that. Third thing Paul did with his thorn, look at verse 9. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ might dwell in me. Third thing Paul did, he rejoiced that there was a purpose to his thorn, that Christ's power might somehow now be on me. there is a purpose to your thorn. I'm not saying you know what it is, but there is a purpose. I mean, I'm the kind of person that likes to see purpose in everything. Jesus said a bird doesn't fall to the ground apart from our Father. So I never say good luck anymore. I believe in providence. God's in control. So, all right, so I go to the dentist. The dentist is a thorn for me. I don't like going to the dentist. So I'm sitting in the chair and she's got this drill in my mouth. And I thought of the people in Haiti, poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Most of them don't have a dentist. And if they have to have a tooth pulled, there's no Novocaine. They just yank it out. And I'm laying there thinking, God, thank you for my dentist. Thank you for what I look on as a thorn. But, and you know what else it did? It reminded me to send money to Samaritan's Purse, Christian organization, to help the people in Haiti. So there's a purpose to your thorn. Paul rejoiced that there was a purpose. And verse 10, therefore I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Next thing Paul did, Paul was content knowing his thorn produced fruit. A man was getting a tour of the apple orchard. And the owner's taking him through and all these big apple trees. But there's one apple tree and the apples are huge. And he says to the owner, why does this tree have such big fruit? And the owner said, look at the roots. And somebody had taken an axe and hacked at the roots. And then the roots healed over. There were scars on the roots. And the owner said, when the trees begin to leaf and produce lots of leaves, the apples get small. When we hack at the tree and wound it, it has to turn its energies back on itself, and the apples get bigger. Apart from Jesus Christ, I don't think there's anybody who got more wounded in the New Testament than the Apostle Paul. Beaten up, eventually probably beheaded for preaching the gospel, but nobody produced bigger fruit. Paul rejoiced that there was fruit coming from his thorn. Have you ever thanked God for your thorn? I had to do that this week. I just stopped and I. Have you ever stopped in prayer and thanked God that your thorn is producing good fruit, whether you can see that fruit or not? Last lesson, verse 10. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Here's the last lesson. My weakness is where God will use me to touch others. Your strength doesn't save anybody. Your thorn might save somebody. So, I have struggled with same-sex attraction most of my life. So, and I've dealt with it privately, and for years I'm a Lutheran, but I went to this Catholic support group for men who have this problem, and I believe the behavior is a sin, so I don't go there. I abstain, I'm celibate, and the people in this group are celibate too. Well, there is a gay magazine in Minneapolis that heard that I was attending this group. They sent an undercover reporter into my support group to write a horrible expose on me and the people of this group. They put my face on the front cover. I mean, even the liberals thought what they did was unethical. Now I had to tell everybody about it. I had to call my family, my friends. I had to talk to my church. Worst time of my life. But God has now been using my weakness for his glory. I get letters, phone calls, emails. Pastor Brock, I've got this problem too. What do I do? Or I get a lot of this. My grandson now has just come out of the closet. What do I do? And it's not your strength that's going to save people. It's your thorn. It's your weak spot that saves people. Brownlow North was a preacher many years ago in England. One night he's about to step in the pulpit to give the sermon. Somebody hands him a note. Dear Brownlow, remember me? I was with you in Edinburgh. I saw what you did in Manchester. In your days before your conversion, I defy you to preach to this group tonight. Story goes, Brownlow North took that note in the pulpit and read every word. And he said, Christian brothers and sisters, this is all true and worse. But there was a day when Jesus said to me, Brownlow, your sins are forgiven thee. And if there was mercy for me, there's mercy for any sinner here. And the story goes that people wept. They came up to get saved, and it was just a wonderful evening. It's not your strength that saves people. God uses your weakness to save people. And one more story here. I love this story. It might have been Westminster Abbey. It was some huge ancient cathedral in Europe. And the docent is leading a little group of tourists on the guided tour of, we'll say, Westminster Abbey. And over here are the stained glass windows from the 14th century. Over here is one of the largest organs in the world from the 16th century. Over here are the capitals of the columns that were carved in the 1200s. Finally, at the end, he says, any questions? One maybe American tourist puts up her hand. Yeah, just one question. Anybody got saved here lately? I love that question. You know, sadly, the cathedrals in Europe are empty. Europe has lost its religion. And the cathedrals, a lot of them are museums. Oh, it's so sad. Listen, God doesn't use cathedrals, gorgeous, fancy cathedrals. He doesn't use your strength. If you're willing to be humble, God will use your weakness to save people. So here's what I want to do. I want to ask you to close your eyes. And I want you to think of your thorn, whatever it is. It might be a bad marriage, bad health, finances, anxiety. You know, whatever your thorn in life is, I want you to think about it. And then I want to ask you to do something. Take a moment right now and thank God for your thorn. While I sing, thank God while I sing again. Though he giveth or he taketh, God his children ne'er forsaketh, his the loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today is, what was Paul's thorn?
We don't know. Some people think he had bad eyesight because he says at the end of one letter, look at the large letters I'm writing here. Mm-hmm. And then he says, you would have plucked your eyes out to help me if I needed it. Yeah. So that's a guess, though. He calls it a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Might have been these enemies that hounded him from town to town. It might have been some temptation that he had to fight. We're never told what the thorn was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why doesn't the Bible tell us what Paul's thorn was?
Well, some people think, and I agree, it's intentionally left vague so everybody can relate it to their own thorn. I mean, if somebody's going through physical pain or they're going through a rough time with their it's left vague so whatever your thorn is, you can relate to the Apostle Paul.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should I ever stop praying for something?
Well, in the sermon, Paul three times said, God, take the thorn away, and God said no. So I think Paul stopped praying. But then Jesus says in Luke 18, he told a parable that you should always pray and never lose heart. So I think generally you pray until you die about stuff. But if God specifically says, look, that thorn is going to stay, then you stop praying that he takes it away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should I have my children in public schools?
Mamma mia, that's a good question. It was just in the news this week that our hyper-liberal Minneapolis public schools has come up with a new gender inclusion policy so that in public schools now in Minneapolis, a biological boy can use the girls' restroom and the girls' locker room. The policy also says that if they go on an overnight trip, your daughter can get a biological male who thinks he's a girl as her roommate. Mm-hmm. And that they're going to use the preferred pronouns from now on in the children. Mm-hmm. So let's say that you're a teacher and you cannot in full conscience lie and call a little boy a little girl. Are they going to fire you now in the Minneapolis public schools? We need two things. We need parents to get real involved, mm-hmm. go to school board meetings, and we need some lawsuits. Mm-hmm. This is craziness. And they're just boring ahead with this. So do you put your kid in public schools? I think we need parents and children in the public schools to be a witness. But on the other hand, I can understand if mm-hmm. a parent pulls their kid because of what's going on. Mm-hmm. You got to pray and do it what you think.
Agree. Let's go to the next one.
One last thing on that. The Minneapolis Public Schools put on a drag queen story time for the kids. While the kids were in drag queen story time, their parents were in another room getting a seminar from the Minnesota Children's Hospitals on how they can help transition your child from one sex to the next by doing hormone therapy, blockers and all this stuff. How is that the job of the Minneapolis Public Schools?
And are these young children?
Young children in the drag queen story time. While their parents, I wouldn't give a penny to the Minnesota Children's Hospitals. So it's just a strange day in which we live, Mona.
Sure is.
Ay, ay, ay. So.
All right. The United Methodist endorsing homosexuality is pretty much the last straw for my wife and I. Could you send us some scripture verses that we can ponder that reinforce your beliefs as well as ours?
Yep. All you have to do is go to pastorstudy.org. There's a whole article called What Does the Bible Teach About Homosexuality? You push that button and you'll get all the verses. So pastorstudy.org. I got to tell you, I just watched it. The United Methodist Church just had their convention where they voted that homosexuality is okay. Mm-hmm. You should watch the proceedings. Person after person gets up. I'm Judy from Minneapolis. I'm a transgender white woman. Next. I'm Ed from Toledo. I am a cisgender. They announce their sex. They announce their pronouns. I'm a he, she. Can you imagine the founder of Methodism, John Wesley? He would scream. Mm-hmm. This is nuts. And I want to encourage people, if you're a United Methodist, time to leave and join what's called the Global Methodist Church, which is still biblical.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, everybody, thanks for watching. Go to pastorstudy.org if you want to see that article, or if you want to support our ministry. You help keep us on the air, and there you go.
John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Have a blessed week. See you next time on the Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.